Thank you, Lord, this morning for what we've heard so far. And we're asking you to come in and open up the scriptures to us, the treasures that you have here for us this morning. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. You can be seated. You can turn to Matthew 6. We're going to have three portions of scripture that I will be referencing this morning mainly. But I want to tell you some stories. I want to tell you some things that will bring this to maybe a little bit more life. My grandpa, my mother's dad, he died of cancer back in about 1970. He was in the hospital for about the last 4 weeks of his life. He was a man's man, an outdoors man. He was born in 1896, I believe, and he went through the Depression, and he had a lot of things took place in his life. He lived to be in his probably 74 years old, almost 75, or almost 74, I don't remember, but that doesn't matter. The thing is, the last day of his life, shortly before he went home to be with the Lord, and he did know the Lord, but he didn't live his life for the Lord so much on an outward way, maybe in an inward way. He had some issues, and we won't talk about that, because the Lord came in for him. I know he did, and he had a tender heart. And for example, during the Depression, he took people in. He didn't have nothing. Him and my grandma took people in and fed them and kept them. So, you know, he had to trust the Lord for these kind of things, and he had compassion on people. So he did a lot of things like that throughout his life. Well, the last morning, he got my grandma's attention, because he always got up early in the morning. And he says, look at the birds, look at the birds. There were some birds out there outside his window. There were some little sparrows, I guess. It was kind of a sign to him, I think, that the Lord was going to come take him home. And he did that day. Now, I'll give you another story. A few years ago, early in the morning, I was up goose hunting. I went goose hunting, got to the field that I go hunting in at about 6 in the morning. It's still dark outside. And, you know, sometimes I kind of wonder if I shouldn't have my own head examined for some of the things that I do. Because it was 5 degrees outside. And here I am going, what am I doing out here? In the middle of the night, driving through a cornfield trying to find this pit and hoping my truck won't run into it. And the corn was harvested and had shucks all over the place. And in front of my truck flew out some sparrows. 5 degrees. I thought, man, Lord, how are you taking care of these sparrows? I mean, you're doing that. You're taking care of the sparrows. 5 degrees. No trees. Just cornfield. There's no trees in a cornfield. And I'm disturbing them. And I said, well, forgive me for disturbing your sparrows, but how in the world are you keeping them out here on this 5-degree night in the cornfield? They had to be in the shucks or something, I don't know. How'd they stay warm? I mean, they didn't go down to Cabela's and buy a bunch of stuff to keep warm with, you know, like I had with me. The Lord took care of those sparrows, and they preached a sermon to me. Because this should preach a sermon to all of us. If you can take care of the sparrow, what about you and me? Let's go to Matthew 20 or Matthew 6, and I'll read verse 25 and 26 from this portion of scripture. Matthew 6:25. Therefore, just as Jesus speaking, I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what ye shall eat, or what ye shall drink, nor yet for your body, what ye shall put on. Is not the life more than meat, and the body than raiment? Behold the fowls of the air. For they sow not, they don't plant anything. Neither do they reap, they don't harvest anything. Nor gather into barns, they don't build places, bigger barns. You can read about that in Scripture. Yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. He feedeth them. Even when it's 5 degrees outside in the middle of winter. Are ye not much better than they? Now, have me turn to Luke 12. And while you're turning there, I'm going to tell you another story. I used to fly airplanes, jets, for Continental Airlines. Luke 12 is where I'm having you turn. And one night, I was going into San Diego at 11 o'clock at night. They had a curfew at midnight, so it was a little after 11 o'clock at night, and I had to try to get there. And we was descending, and I was descending fast. 320 knots was about the maximum the speed the airplane would go on a descent. And as I went through 13,000 feet, 11 o'clock at night, splat, I hit a bird. They had three big windshields in the front, right in the middle. I said, what was that? He says, I don't know. He says, well, I think we hit a bird. At 13,000 feet, well, we hit something. You know, and you're moving pretty fast. 320 knots is about, I guess, 370 miles an hour. And we were descending, going into San Diego. So every time you hit a bird in an airplane, you have to write up a report or fill out a report that has 8 pages long. What kind of bird was it that you hit? What was the speed of the bird, do you think? What altitude did you hit him at? You know, what was the size of the bird and all this stuff? So, you know, I filled all that out, and they put it into a computer, and they did some research. So the next morning I asked the guy, the mechanic, I says, did you ever find anything of this bird? What kind of bird it was or anything? He says, we found three feathers, and that was it. And I says, okay. Now, what's a bird doing up there at that altitude in the middle of the night? And that wasn't the only bird I hit at night. I hit probably 50 birds throughout my career. Several of them at night, you'd be surprised, the ducks that fly at night. Ducks. Past midnight going into Sacramento, you fly through flocks of ducks. I always prayed, Lord, help me not to hit any more birds, you know, in the middle of the night like that. So let's go here to Luke 12. I want you to let's read verse 6 and 7. Are not five sparrows, this is Jesus speaking again, are not five sparrows? Sparrow's a pretty insignificant bird, huh? Anybody got a pet sparrow? You ever gone down and bought one? Okay, well, you know, why would you? They're everywhere, it seems, right? Are not five sparrows sold for 2 farthings? And not one of them is forgotten before God. Not one of them, the sparrow. And then he says, but even the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Fear not, therefore, ye are of more value than many sparrows. Wow. The same sparrows that fly 13,000 feet that are out freezing in the cold. You remember that song, and I wish you could have heard Sister Miller sing it. Some of you did. His eye is on the sparrow. She sang it. I might have a recording of it someplace. I think Clark does. She'd get up here and Sister Johnson would play for her, and she would sing, and she'd change keys 3 or 4 times, and Sister Johnson was able to follow her, and then you'd think she was done, and Sister Johnson would think she was done, and then she'd go right back into the chorus again. But you know that song, I can still hear her singing it. because she was saying, you know, the Lord, his eye is on the sparrow, and I know he cares for me, right? Isn't that what it is? Okay, now we're going to get to our scripture, but we've already read some of them. But let's go over to Philippians, the fourth chapter. There's 104 verses in Philippians. I just threw that out for free. How many of those verses do you know? Here's one, Philippians 4:19. And I want you to really think about this. And I want you to think about the sparrow as we're thinking about this. But my God, Paul's writing, shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. You got any needs? Well, are they more than the sparrow out freezing in the morning? Yeah, they are, aren't they? Yeah. So you think the sparrow knows this verse? They act like they do. They sing a song in the morning. I sing one in my bird bath this morning, just as happy as could be. Is God was supplying his need, right? And yet we worry and we fret and we go, oh, woe is me. I lost my notes in the computer. You know, what am I going to do? What am I going to do? What am I going to do? What's your verse for this morning? But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Well, we had a need of a sermon this morning, I guess. And here it is, you know. We said earlier, needs can be spiritual. They can be mental. They can be physical. They can be financial. We all need a Savior, right? But we have a Savior. Have you accepted Jesus as your Savior? And once you've accepted Jesus as your Savior, you still have spiritual needs, right? Who did he leave with us to help us with our spiritual needs? The Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit. I was only going to go to three scriptures, but I want you to go to Acts 19. You can hold your place there in Philippians. 19, first few verses. About the first five or six, I want you to look at this. Paul is returning to Ephesus, and he found certain disciples there as he returned to Ephesus. And in verse 2, he said unto them, and in the original Greek reads, the Holy Ghost, have you received him having believed? These were believers. And they said unto him, well, man, we have not so much as heard whether there be any Holy Ghost. Well, there was, and there is. And he was sent on the day of Pentecost. And he was come for what reason? To help us, right? To guide us into all truth. You know, go back and review all that. He's a teacher. He's a guide. He's the one that will help us get ready for what? To be in the bride of Christ, if you want to be in that group. And if you don't, why are you here this morning? You want a song and worship service? There's other churches that do that. Those 7-Eleven songs that we were talking about earlier this morning, Ken, where they sing the same seven words 11 times for 2 hours, you know? That's a worship service, okay? Okay, well, it says in verse 6, when Paul laid his hands upon them, the Holy Ghost came on them, and they spake with tongues and prophesied. Kevin, in his ministry, he goes to the jails in prisons, and he last year led approximately 200 men to the Lord. In his prison ministry. Oh, it's a real flashy one, you know. Yeah, right. You don't even hear about it, right? And then there was, in that same year, approximately 80 guys wanted to receive the Holy Spirit. And Kevin prayed with them. And you know how long he gets to pray with them? How long, Kevin? 3 to 5 minutes? Yeah, they want it. And about, I think he said 80 or so, maybe 100. It's hard to keep track of those kind of things. Got filled. It don't take forever. Okay, so now, there's other needs besides spiritual needs. Physical needs. You ever ask the Lord for help you with something? Back to Philippians 5:19. My God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. And how about your mental needs? Well, there's nothing wrong with my mind. What were we talking about? you need help sometimes to remember some things. You get to the grocery store and you come back home and you go, well, where's this? Oh, I think I forgot to get it. Well, that's better than getting to the grocery store and going, who am I and why am I here? Yeah. And then I think we all have financial needs. Well, what does it say to do there in Philippians 4:19? But the bank shall supply all your needs. No, it don't say that, does it? My job will supply all my needs. Don't say that, does it? Well, where is your needs being supplied from? God. My God. Why would you call me and tell me you got a need like that if you're trusting the Lord? You see? And nobody does, believe me, because I got my own needs, and I got a lot of them. And I don't need to sit up here and tell you what they all are. But it says here, Philippians 4:19, my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Now, I think we all have one need we would like the Lord to meet, as to be a full overcomer. Well, Hebrews 4:16. Let's read that one for a second. Let us, therefore, that's all of us, let us, therefore, come boldly unto the throne of grace. Who resides there? God the Father. Let us boldly come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in the time of what? Need. Yeah. So you feel the need to have God's best? He's going to let you have it. I mean, I shouldn't say it like that. He's going to really let you have it, you know. But he might. But we still need to remember that he's going to supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Where was Paul when he wrote this in Philippians? He was in prison in Rome. And what do we call the book of Philippians? The joy book of the Bible. Oh, happy me, I'm in prison. That's not what it's saying, is it? Nope. He got to write a letter there to us, which we wouldn't have if he wouldn't have been in prison, this joy book of the Bible. What does it say there in Philippians 3:14? I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. That was where his focus was. Verse 17, brethren, that's all of us that are believers, be followers together of me and mark them which walk so as you have us for an example. We're going to face some difficulties. We're going to face difficulties every day of our lives. But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Next time you see a sparrow, that sermon that you heard this morning that didn't have any notes with it will be, well, look, he took care of the sparrow. He's taking care of the sparrow. He's got a song in his heart. He's not out there worrying like, oh man, where am I going to get something to eat? It's 5 degrees outside. Where am I going to sleep? The Lord takes care of him. What does it say back there in Matthew 6:26? Are ye not much better than they? And he took care of every detail in these sparrows' lives. And he takes care of every detail in our lives too. So what is the point? Trust God. Okay, trust God. 8 times in Scripture, there's a phrase found, blessed is the man that. You can write that down. It's about 5 words. Blessed is the man that. In Psalm 34:8, David wrote this psalm. David's an example of an Old Testament worthy of faith, a full overcomer. He writes, O taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in him. In Psalm 84:12, we read this. O Lord of hosts, blessed is the man that trusteth in thee. Jeremiah 17:7. Blessed is the man that, what? Trusteth in the Lord, and whose hope the Lord is. Is the Lord your hope? Now, 8 happens to be a number that's associated with a lot of things. It's got 5 different meanings. 1, it's a number of resurrection. Jesus rose on the first day of the week. That happens to be the 8th day. Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. Monday is the 8th day again, right? First day of the week. You have on a scale, on a piano, 8, or any scale, I guess. There's 8 notes. Do, re, mi, fa, sol, la, ti, what, do, 8. The 8th note's the same as the first, okay? That's a number of a new beginning. You won't find this in any book anywhere, but you will hear it here. You'll find it in the Bible if you study it out. Years ago, when I was asked by David Luter back there, who, by the way, is awake. they got pictures of him asleep in church. And they probably got pictures of me asleep in church, too. And I hope none of us are nodding off here this morning. But, you know, he asked me, Ty, why do the numbers mean what they mean in the Bible? I thought, you know, that's a good question. I don't know. I'll look into it. And it ended up being a study on the meaning of Bible numbers, which never ends, by the way. I think some of you have discovered that in your own studies. Well, one of them, I got into that study and I said, there's a number, 1 for God and 2 for Jesus and 3 for the Holy Spirit. There's got to be a number for the bride of Christ. Anybody know what it is? And nobody knows. I said, I'll keep looking. I mean, you know, it probably took 2 years. And I come across some things. 2 is the number of sufficient witness, right? So you got to have a couple examples before it's going to even be valid, right? Well, okay. Now think about this. 8 times in Genesis 24, you'll find Rebecca referred to as wife. That little bell rang in the back of my head. And this day it has to ring a lot before I even hear it. Okay. Now, in Romans 16, I think there's 35 people mentioned. 8 of them are women. 8. Little bell goes off. These 8 women portray qualities that are found in the bride of Christ. And this number that I, this is thing I told you this morning, blessed is the man that, that phrase, blessed is the man that, found 8 times in Scripture. It has something to do with the bride of Christ, don't it? Yeah. Blessed is the man that trusteth in the Lord and whose hope the Lord is. Okay? We started off with Matthew 6:26. And in that verse it says, behold the fowls of the air, and we've done that here this morning. They sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns. Yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. The word feedeth, look it up. It's found 8 times in eight scriptures, 8 times in the Bible. Which takes us back to Philippians 4:19. But my God shall supply all your need. He's going to feed you. He's going to supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. So let these things speak to your heart. There's a lot more in each one of these verses. I'll give you a couple examples of this word, feedeth. Song of Solomon, 6:3. I am my beloved's, and my beloved is mine. He feedeth among the lilies. Okay? So I'll let you think about the, about these things. Now, this morning, as the brethren are coming up, we're going to do the Lord's Supper. And I'm going to go back to 1 Corinthians. You can go 1 Corinthians 11. I think it's important that we review this and read this as we get ready to partake of the Lord's Supper. And Paul writes here, in starting in verse 23, 1 Corinthians 11, 23. For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. This is at the Last Supper. And when he had given thanks, he brake it and said, take, eat, this is my body which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. After the same manner also, he took the cup he had supped, saying, this cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as oft as ye drink it in remembrance of me. For as oft as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death till he come. He hasn't come yet. We're going to take the Lord's Supper on this table. Those says, I think this do in remembrance of me. Okay, so brethren, you can come forward. I'm going to dismiss us for this. And remember, this is a respectful time. So let's close our eyes for a second. Jesus, thank you for your help this morning. Thank you for the things we've learned, how you take care of the sparrow and how you meet our needs, Lord. And may we focus on you in your soon return. Thank you for this time we've had here this morning. For we ask in Jesus' name, amen.